Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Elodie Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Today's Thursday, October 5th, 2017. Good afternoon, Al.
Hello, Melodie.
Well, we got a lot of things to talk about and updates to bring the listeners. And we'll first start with the precious metals market. We have gold today, a little pressure on gold. You know, tomorrow they have the jobs report coming out. We'll talk about that here after these numbers. Gold was down 670 today at 1268. Silver was up 2 pennies today at 1669. Platinum was down a dollar at 917. And palladium was up 16, a big day for palladium, up 16 at 942. That kind of goes in line with copper. Copper surged 3% today to 304 per pound, and that's the biggest gain in 5 weeks. So, hey, to me, that's inflationary, but oh, don't tell the Federal Reserve that. Anyway, we have palladium up $16 at 942. The USDX today was trading stronger, up 0.46 at 93.96, and crude oil was up 0.78, back up over 50 at 50.76. Paper markets today, you had the Dow, big day for the Dow again, up over triple digits, up 10. Oh, let's see what the final numbers are. 114. 22,775. The NASDAQ's up 50 at 65.85. And the S&P is up 14 at 25.52. And I just saw a headline, the Dow could be so hot that it melts. And the 10-year yield, 2.35%, up 2 basis points. And you have the Euro, 1.17, down 0.46. Euro's getting all bent out of shape because their currency was gaining so much strength, and they're out over there whining. It went up too fat, too high, too quick. And so now their central banks and are doing whatever is necessary in order to give them back some weakness to their currencies and their central bank. And we have a couple of reports. The September employment report is out tomorrow, and already they're claiming it's going to be affected by the hurricanes Irma and Harvey. And so they're
expecting...
That's
kind of like the winter when it's too warm or too cold in the wintertime.
Too much snow. Mm-hmm. And you know what? It's funny. When they release the various data about the manufacturing and supplies and so forth, they never extract the numbers, you know, that have been impacted by, you know, when it's a positive report, they don't extract the numbers to say, well, you know, this, oh no, they don't do that. But for the unemployment report, Friday's release is to be about 80, forecast, the median forecast is 80,000 gain in non-farm payrolls, less than half the average of 182,000 rise since the start of last year. And again, they talk about this 12-month average for the payrolls nationally and for the U.S. minus the Florida, Texas, Louisiana, and Georgia. So we'll see. And I'm sure, you know, the markets will react a little bit to it. I'm sure we'll get pressure on gold. Perhaps maybe we'll see some strength. But you have to remember that, you know, all this is just truly, really temporary, is the way I see it now.
Such is life, Melody.
This is temporary, as far as what we see in these markets at this point and now. I mean, you have everyone out there of various degrees, various predictions, various economists, you know, that are, it's all predicting. And the numbers are beginning to show it, too. There was a report from The Economist, and they talk about how the ultra-loose monetary policy is coming to an end, not just here in the States, but also over in Europe. And they talk about, you know, the S&P pricing. We haven't seen, we've all seen the run-up in these global stock markets in the past 8 years. And it gives us visions of, you know, the dot-com mania. It gives us visions of, you know, the roaring 20s. And but yet, only at the peak of those two bubbles has America's S&P 500 been higher as a multiple of earnings that's measured over a 10-year cycle.
Than it is right now.
Than it is right now. So, again, we see signs that we... The only time we've been here before is the dot-com mania and the roaring 20s, and this should end pretty much in the same manner, and I think it will end far worse than what we have experienced in the past. There was this article from The Economist, and it's followed, I guess one of the biggest students is Warren Buffett, the intelligent investor. It was published back in 1949 by a Benjamin Graham. And he was a Wall Street sage, distilled what he called his secret of sound investment into three words: margin of safety.
Okay.
And I started thinking that, and he's talking about the price paid for a stock or a bond should allow for human error, bad luck, things going bad. But I'm thinking as a margin of safety is gold. I mean, gold really is your safety in protecting you when these paper markets do hit that degree of things going bad, bad luck, human error, you know, central bank manipulations, government manipulations, too much debt, and everything else that you can throw into the mix as far as the issues that we will be facing here in the... So you have to minimize disruption. And I think this is what gold and silver does. It will minimize your disruption of your paper collapse and the monetary collapse. And I mean, they were just strictly talking about you know, how to view paper, but if you're looking for a margin of safety, to me that is gold and silver. And we got specials going on in the Silver Eagles. Silver is still up. We can still offer you those. I have a few left at that $388 per 20 per tube of American Silver Eagles, 1 ounce, dated 2017. And I have a few of those left at that price. They will soon have to be readjusted to the higher price. And even though we've seen just a couple cents here in the silver price rise on a daily basis this past week, it still makes a difference on what you overall pay. And they were discounted to begin with. So a great deal for $388, 1-800-375-4188. And Al, I pulled up the U.S. Mint bullion sales for the month of September. I can't remember the last time that silver, the amount sold, was 320,000. Already this month, we're halfway there to that number. So far this month, it's only the fifth, there have been 150,000 Silver Eagles 1 ounce sold. But for the whole month, last September, was 320. So
you're saying it was
unreasonably low. It's an unusually weird month. I mean, there's been a couple of months this year where we've seen a little bit of softness in the purchasing. April was a weak month. June was a weak month. But certainly September was far weaker than those 2 months by half. And so something strange is going on, because then the following month, the prices just pick up. I mean, the purchases pick up again, just as we've seen in the other months. You know, we come out of an 835,000 Silver Eagles sold for the month of April, and the next month in May, you have 2.5 million sold. We saw the same thing in June, where we had 986,000 Silver Eagles sold. The next month was 2.3 million Silver Eagles. So that means the prices are changing and people are taking advantages of the... So I expect to see the same thing. This month we're going to have a big month, probably for Silver Eagles, and that can always adjust with premiums and everything. Premiums can rise a little bit if there's a you know, a stronger demand for something. So if you're getting into silver, now's the time to do it, folks. Give us the call at 1-800-375-4188. The gold market, you know, really wasn't much better. There were, for the month of, now these are just gold eagles, American gold eagles for 2017. I mean, this doesn't include old dates and things like that, what businesses do. But September, the U.S. Mint sold a total of 11,500 gold eagles. That wasn't the worst showing. Again, you go back to April and June for the weaker months of gold eagles, but still for the year so far, only 234,000 gold eagles. Those are not big numbers, and I think a lot of it also has to do with the record high stock markets. People don't think they need gold and silver because their paper is performing for them. And that's the whole reason. Another reason you get gold and silver in your portfolios because it balances your paper investments, because eventually paper is going to drop. I mean, everybody is to that consensus, you know, and it's going to be bloody. It's going to be 50 to 70%. The key thing, is it going to come back? And that's what people are betting on. People are gambling that the markets will come back. And I don't think they will this time.
Well, they may come back, but it's not going
to
happen.
It's not coming back to 25,000.
Tomorrow afternoon or whatever, once the thing drops.
It will be back to 25,000.
Not soon.
No. And I'm sure if it drops to 6 again, you know, you might see it come back to, you know, 10, 12, 15 or something like that. But I don't think you'll, not for a long time would you see it. Facebook, they keep expanding its footprint in the United States. Their next stop is Virginia. And it doesn't surprise me. You know, the Virginia governor, Terry McAuliffe, a Democrat, and we all know that, or Zuckerberg seems to want to run for president in the near future. We know Terry McAuliffe will probably run once again for president in 2020, and I sure would hate to see him choose Zuckerberg as a VP, and that's what went through my mind. But Facebook plans to invest $1 billion in the state. The company is putting $750 million into construction and $250 million to multiple solar facilities that will power the data center. Working with companies like Facebook, McAuliffe said, and many others, we are advancing Virginia's position as a global leader in the technology economy. This is what I find interesting. They're going to invest $1 billion, and it's going to create 100 jobs. Isn't that a lot of money for 100 jobs?
Yeah, it seems like it's quite a bit.
Yeah.
$1
billion? They plan to invest $1
billion. $1 million a job.
And they're going to create 100 full-time jobs.
$10 million a job.
Facebook will receive about $19 million in state tax exemptions through 2035. Facebook already has data centers in Oregon, North Carolina, Iowa. They have centers in Fort Worth, Texas, Las Lunas, New Mexico, and New Albany, Ohio, are currently under construction. So, but that first thing I thought of is he's going to Virginia, McAuliffe running for president, and he'd be VP. Wouldn't that be frightening?
I don't know. The whole thing becomes just bizarre after a while, and there's something wrong. There is something wrong. We have people like George Soros who thinks he can run the rule of the world, all right, with his billions of dollars. And he doesn't mind meddling in American politics, European politics. He's like a character out of a James Bond spy novel. And we've got Trump. He can get in. He's a billionaire. He can get in here, rule the world to some extent. We've got Zuckerberg. He thinks he's smart enough and certainly rich enough to rule the world. There is something about people who have all this money. You know, there's something here where you have to kind of sit back and say, do we really want these? Are these people really here to do us any good? You know, there's an old saying that the foundation for every great fortune is a great crime. I don't know that that's true all the time, but I'll bet it's true a lot of the time. the fact that people are spectacularly wealthy is not necessarily evidence of honesty or integrity. And there's something wrong with the American people. There's something, I don't know if there's something wrong, but there's something that needs to be observed and thought about. Should we be electing rich people to public office? Right? Is that really going to help us? It's a little like the trickle-down theory. They're going to pass laws to make it, to deregulate, make everything great for corporations, and then some of that money will trickle down to the great unwashed. Sure, but the truth of the matter is, it won't. If you're going to get rich, one of the first things you must become is extraordinarily parsimonious. You cannot spend a nickel, a dime that doesn't need to be spent. You got to watch. It is the, there are certainly rich people that are exceptions to that rule, but generally speaking, rich people do not, nothing's going to trickle down. All right? They build their businesses, their corporations, their lives on the basis of capturing every nickel and dime that comes close. And that means not many of them are going to trickle down to the great unwashed. If you really wanted to do this country some good, give the money to the poor people. They'll spend it fast enough, and it will trickle up to the wealthy. And it'll trickle through the middle class. And the ever and the rank and file people of this country will get some benefit out of it. But if you're going to give it to the wealthy and subsidize them and the rest of that, there's something about Zuckerberg, for example. My God. Isn't it? Doesn't he have enough already without being president? And what does he have to offer? What does he have to offer? I mean, some of these people just decide to run. It's like having a panty raid at the you know, at the one of the sorority houses at the University of Illinois. It says, "Hey, this will be cool, man. I could be president. I could put that on my resume." You know, there's more to it than that. You know, it should be more than just a an attempt to amp up your resume and work on your legend and whatever.
I mean, you know, there's nothing wrong with being rich, but there's something else when you're ultra rich, because you're, you know, it's hard for me to think that they can truly be objective to what is helpful for us. You know, you always have that other thing that's...
What you have is a problem with the super wealthy think that they can get laws passed to make them even more super wealthy, and that's what I object to. I have no objection to anyone care if you're a millionaire, a billionaire, whatever. If you earned your money, that's fine with me, and I don't care how much you got. But if you've done it by giving money to Congress or the Senate or people in the White House to pass laws that will allow you to loot more money from the middle class and the productive elements of society, I am against you. Let's take a break for a couple of commercials.
Not only that, because they're so globalistic anymore either. They're not going to
do that's another thing. They're not patriotic. They're just looking for more money, more money, more money, more money. Let's take a break, a couple of commercials. Melody and I will be right back on Financial Survival.
We will find you acting on your best behavior. Turn your back on Mother Nature. Everybody wants to rule the world.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom, and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit csctalkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Hi, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. What's next, Melody?
$388 2017 American Silver Eagles, 800-375-4188. Visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter. And, of course, these programs are archived there on a daily and weekly basis. And the total federal debt climbed by $671.5 billion. I'm just rounding it out on fiscal 2017, making 2017 the 60th straight fiscal year in which the federal debt has increased. And that's according to the official numbers published by the U.S. Treasury. And this person who released these numbers and this little article I have is Terrence P. for CNSnews.com. And the total federal debt to the federal government includes both what the Treasury calls the debt held by the public and the intragovernmental debt. The last fiscal year in which the federal debt declined was in 1957. Dwight Eisenhower was president. In that year, according to the Treasury, the total federal debt dropped from $272 billion to $270 billion at the close of fiscal 1957. So...
Well, what's interesting to me is, again, I've been advancing the hypothesis for a couple of, maybe a month or 6 weeks, 2 months maybe. But I don't think they can – I think they have to go deeper into debt because we have a debt-based monetary system. And here we have evidence that they've been going deeper into debt for 60 years. It doesn't matter if you elect the Republicans, we're going deeper into debt. We're elected the Democrats, we're going deeper into debt. No matter who you elect, we're going deeper into debt. At some point or another, maybe we ought to consider the possibility that the system must go deeper into debt. It's not just an accident. It's not just an anomaly that we've got 60 consecutive years of going deeper and deeper and deeper into debt. Huh?
Well, they had to go deeper. I mean, that's the whole reason they took the confiscated gold in 33. You know, all their little social programs, you know, all started to. And they always blame the baby boomers. You know.
I blame the baby
Let's
boomers.
Let's blame
too,
those
Melody.
Baby boomers.
I blame
know,
the baby boomers
problem.
Also. Because I'm a year old. I'm a year too old to be in the baby boomer mix. The baby boomers started
yeah,
out
you
a year.
Not a baby
I was already
boomer.
Here. I'm not a baby boomer.
I'm a baby boomer.
Uh-huh. See? So it's your
it's
fault.
It's all my fault.
Mm-hmm. Yep, yep.
So it's kind of interesting. And, you know, I was reading about it. It's like the first idea of debt, the first idea started way back in 3500 B.C. It's pretty much the first recorded type debt system. And what happens? Ever since 3500 B.C., you have people, you know, the farmers that become so mired in debt. And guess who gets to, it's their children who suffer.
Yep.
It's the children who suffer.
And that's exactly what they have in mind in this country.
And they all cancel the debt. And they all cancel the debt.
Well, they cancel the debt. They've got to again cancel the correlative assets.
Well, we know that, but I'm just saying that's what they've all done since 3500 B.C.,
eventually, they can't. They cancel it because it can't be paid.
Right.
Right, and that's what will happen in this country also, and that's the reason why we tell people be very cautious about investing your wealth into anything made of paper. Any of these documents, they are all debt instruments. If you have a piece of paper, a bond says $100,000 on it, a stock that says $5,000, whatever, you got a piece of paper, you have a debt instrument at a time when, sooner or later, the debt is, they're going to have to admit they can't pay the debt. And when that happens, a lot of those paper debt instruments are going to turn out to be worthless, which is one of the reasons why we harp on, get yourself some gold, get yourself some silver, get something, put your wealth, store it in a tangible form, not in the form of a paper promise to pay. And that's all they are. It's a promise to pay. That's what a debt is, a promise. Promise, promise, promise. Oh, yeah, you give me $5,000 right now, and I'm going to give you $10,000. In 5 years. How about it? Well, what if I don't? What if things go badly? It's all, the debt is always a promise to pay. A piece of gold, piece of silver is a payment. It's not a promise, it's a payment. There's a big difference, and if people grasp that, you begin to see the rationale for storing your wealth in a tangible media, not in the media of promises, because the promises, too many of them, can't all be kept. Here's an article from SF Gate, San Francisco Gate, and the headline is Legal Marijuana Prices Plummeting Nationwide in 2017. Now, the reason I bring that to people's attention is because there's been a lot of interest in investing in marijuana in corporations that are growing marijuana and selling marijuana in different states, whereas it's become legalized in the last 2 years or so in this country. People, get in, you can get make fantastic amount of money in marijuana. Well, maybe you can. And certainly in some instances you have been able to make a spectacular profit on your marijuana investments. But what's happening is, here's the article, it says cannabis legalization has led to a drop in the price of pot. All right, according to the 2017 mid-year wholesale market report released by Cannabis Benchmarks, wholesale marijuana prices dropped 18.6% throughout the U.S. in the first half of 2017. Well, there's more to the article, and we may go off on that in a moment, but the point is, the implication is, I don't think that the marijuana stocks and the marijuana businesses and the marijuana corporations are going to be such spectacular investments if the price of their main product is falling. I think this is evidence that probably this will not be the kind of investors, you know, panacea. Oh my God, we're going to get rich on marijuana. Maybe not. Price has fallen 18% in 6 months. I don't know what it's going to do in the first 6 months of the year. I don't know what it's going to do in the second 6 months. But this is consistent with an idea I've talked about for years. I mean, I've understood that the principal addiction, people talk about it being addicted to drugs. The principal addiction is to Federal Reserve notes. The principal addiction is to currency. That's what we're addicted to. The drugs are secondary. Well, the reason we get into marijuana, you got to make money selling marijuana. You can make money investing in marijuana. You can make money in heroin. You can make money in cocaine and whatever else. It's the money that draws us in. And the reason these weeds, and that's all most of this stuff is, just some weeds, leaves off a tree or whatever, the reason it's valuable is because the government has declared that it's prohibited. It's the government laws, it's the prohibition that makes the drug profitable. And what we see here is their legal marijuana prices are plummeting nationwide because of legalization. It is evidence that if you want to get rid of some of these drugs, maybe you're going to have to think about legalizing them.
Hey, Al, did it ever cross your mind that because the price is dropping, it's because there's more people using it? You know, you have more people using it, and the products, there, people are able to grow it. There's more out there growing.
Well, maybe, but
so
just
there's
the
more,
same.
So which would you rather have?
I would rather live in a place...
drug prices or more people using? And again, this opioid situation. When did that really come into the news and everything? Certainly, we know that we're with, Afghanistan, there's more stuff coming into this country and stuff like that. But the opioids, the prescriptions, is there any correlation to when, first of all, the legalization of marijuana? Has that been a sudden increase? Is there any correlation between the two? So really, is it a reduction of drug use, or is this more usage? And the availability to it is easier.
I think the interest, the overall interest, if the price is dropping, I think the overall interest is going to decline.
No.
I think what drives this more than anything else is the addiction to dollars.
I have never seen
the dollars are there and they're lucrative so long as the drug is illegal.
I haven't seen, I have talked to so many people who I would never even think of using marijuana. So a lady was telling me her father called. Now he's like 70, 80 years old, 70 or something. She said he called her one day, and he was saying, guess what? I went out and got me some of that wacky weed. He's an older gentleman. He says, I told my doctor I don't need to have any more medication, which might be a good thing. He says, I don't need any of my medication anymore. He says, I got my wacky weed. And I mean, it's just like, are you kidding me? I don't think just because the price is dropping and legalized marijuana or any drug for that matter is good for society.
It may not be, but the the most important
most
event.
Most people who agree with you as far as legalizing because it's going to reduce is they probably don't know of anyone who have seen the destruction of what drugs do to a person and a family.
I get that. I understand that. But the most effective, the one event that was most effective back in the 80s, I believe it was in the 80s, to reduce kids' use of cocaine, college kids' use of cocaine, is a basketball player named Len Bias. He died on the basketball court. And it was determined he did it because he died because he'd been taking cocaine. And the college kids said, forget that. I'm not interested in dying to use this stuff. And it caused a serious decline in the use of cocaine, at least for the moment. And what I'm trying to get to is this. It is unfortunate and it's sad, but we learn by experience. The government puts up its prohibitions and they warn everybody about it, but there's nothing like some dead bodies laying around where people say, oh my gosh, this stuff is really bad for you.
Are you kidding?
And if you can't make any money,
we're in such a society of violence where dead bodies on television, on videos, I mean, it's just, people have been desensitized against bodies.
Maybe they have, but nevertheless,
particularly
the
drug
alternative
usage.
In order to maintain the prohibition on drugs, we have to run a police state in this country. 70% of the people that are in federal penitentiaries are there for drug use, drug sales, whatever. They're there on the basis of drugs. It lays the foundation for the police ultimately stopping your car, doing roadblocks. I mean, one of the benefits that would happen if we had legalization to some degree, more legalization, less police force. All right. Cops going after murderers and rapists and robbers and the rest of that sort of thing. When they're checking to see if you've got any weeds in your car, there's something wrong.
I believe, certainly if somebody has a little dime bag in their purse or something, they shouldn't serve 5 years in prison. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of ridiculous. However, on the other hand, some of these bigger and larger dealers, they get out in 6 months and, hey, I'll cop to, something else and I'll give you somebody else that's a little bit bigger than me. They do their pleas and their bargaining and everything else, and they get it.
They seem that way, but I mean, how big are you going to be if it's legalized? It is the prohibition that puts the money in the product, and I'm arguing that the principal addiction
will control,
is not to the cocaine,
will control
it's
it
to the money,
taxes and everything else. So hey, let's just give more money to the government. Okay.
Well, I mean, if I want, that is a viable point. If people want to do drugs and they have to be taxed, pay higher taxes for the privilege of doing drugs, I don't have a problem with that. I'm not advocating drug use. I don't use them. I haven't. All right.
Legalization.
It's not something I get into. I think it's stupid.
Drug
Using drugs is
legalization
will self-destructive.
Not
I think it will, and they're telling us right here.
Just
it's going to reduce at least the investment quality of pot stocks as long as the price is falling. And the legalization appears to be pushing prices.
I mean, in the beginning when they first legalized it, you had what? One place you could buy it. You know, you had one person that manufactured pot. Now you have more popping up. You're going to have more people selling it, you know, and so forth. And that's what's all just bringing the price down. It doesn't have anything to do with, you know, making a, you know.
I think it does. Legalizing, the price is coming down. Why?
I mean,
more competition. It's in the free market.
It's not reducing the usage.
Maybe it's not, but nevertheless, is that principal driver behind. I'm not saying that legalization is going to end drug use. There are always going to be people who do it, but you're going to see them come to bad conclusions in this life. And seeing that, I think, is going to have more of an effect than government telling you that don't do any drugs. You see people and say, look, Jones over there is, the guy's always high, and look what's happened to him. Wrecked his car, wrecked his home, wrecked his marriage. I'm betting that people will look at this
people
and they'll say, you know,
have
drugs
any
are
idea
bad
the drug culture. People don't have.
They do. It's all around, Melody.
People, no. They look, marijuana, the deep drug culture. Have you ever seen anybody laying around with needles stuck in their arms?
Nope.
Well, you know, maybe people should see things like that.
Well, they will. Legalize it and you'll see more of it. You'll see,
no,
like
because
I say,
you have this city's
the unfortunate thing is you'll
up.
See people dying. No, if it's legalized,
city's just
you're
covered
see
up. You find bodies.
Yeah, that's another point. You know, I mean, if we're going to do this, if we're going to go out there and keep the world safe for democracy by suppressing drugs, let's suppress tobacco.
Just like
most
here,
deadly drug on the planet is tobacco. Most addictive drug on the planet, according to some sources, tobacco is more addictive than crack.
Well, that's
we're not doing that. We're not going to do keep the. How many people? I mean, we are. I don't know. What about alcohol? Shall we make alcohol illegal?
Not much.
I mean, we're caught in a situation. I'm looking at it from the perspective. You got to weigh these things and think about which is. We may not have a good choice, but we can choose between the lesser of two evils. Which is worse? More drugs or less police state?
I don't think you can compare cigarettes with.
Well, I think you probably can. Look how many people die from disease that's associated with cigarettes.
It's been a long time since I've seen nicotine. It's a long time since I've seen nicotine break up a family and ruin people's lives. It's been a long time.
Why?
It's been a long time.
But why do you think that is? It's because it's not illegal.
I've never seen it.
You can smoke tobacco and you don't have to break up your family. If you have if the drug is illegal, then what would happen? How many families would be broken up then? We're going to take a break for some commercials, and Melody will not get the last word. I get the last word, at least for the moment. We'll be back in a second on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned. Would you tell me again? Oh, can you feel it? Oh, would you tell me again tonight?
Each and every heart is food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold. gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. What's next, Melody?
Oh, well, we should get off that little heated. That is just one of my pet peeves, and so I think we should move on to something else. And I know you had wanted to talk a little bit about Spain, and I read earlier today that the banks are beginning to, if they continue with their independence, the Catalonians, that they're going to pull out. So I guess one bank did, and the other one is reconsidering it. It'll be interesting to see.
Now the consequences start to pile up.
Yes.
All right, this is one of the interesting things. We're all voting for freedom. Yay! All right, wait a minute. You mean they're going to shut down my bank? I mean, it becomes, there are consequences, and I'm not against Catalonian independence. I'm not for it, against it. It's not my call. I'm simply observing that there's a conflict going on in Spain, but everybody's getting the idea this is a problem. Spanish stocks tumbled, with the IBEX index sliding to a 10% correction as a result of this independence vote. An all-party committee, the region's parliament, meets to agree for a date for a plenary session on independence. It will probably be, at least initially, it will declare independence from Spain in a plenary session on Monday. That was the report when this began. Catalan President Carles Puigdemont told the BBC that his government would ask the region's parliament to declare independence after tallying the votes, blah, 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 which Madrid says was illegal. We got the Catalonian province, community, whatever they are exactly. They're saying we're independent, and Spain, the government of Spain, says it was illegal. Now, that's an interesting thing, and it's not news, of course, but it does mean there's going to be conflict, all right? Madrid doesn't have much choice on this. Madrid is going to have to stop these people down, or they're going to just have, okay, if you want to be independent, go ahead. We don't care. Just leave. Don't let the door hit you in the buns on the way out. Madrid doesn't have much choice other than to try to impose its will on the Catalonian province. Catalan President Charles Puigdemont comments came after Spain's King Felipe VI accused secessionist leaders Tuesday of shattering democratic principles. How did they shatter democratic principles? They took a vote, all right, and dividing Catalan society as tens of thousands protested against a violent police crackdown on Sunday's vote. All right, the main government, the national government, is using police power to try, they use police power to try to stop having the vote in the first place, and we can only guess how much more power they're going to try to use before this is done to force Catalan to stay with Spain. But this is consequences now. And it says, and while the constitutional crisis in Spain, the Eurozone's fourth biggest economy, has hit Spanish stocks and bonds, raising Madrid's, that's the national government of Spain, raising Madrid's borrowing costs, oh my gosh, it has so far failed to have an adverse impact on the broader European market or the euro, which has remained relatively steady in recent days. What I'm getting to is this is just evidence of perhaps unintended, unexpected consequences. And now we're seeing, wait a second, is this a good idea? Are borrowing costs going up? If Spain, the national government of Spain, if they come in and start busting heads and perhaps even killing people among the Catalonians, what's that going to do to Madrid's borrowing costs? There's people in Spain right now in Madrid that are saying, oh my gosh, can we beat these people up? Can we shoot them? Can we kill them without causing ourselves to increase our borrowing costs? This is the consequences are causing everybody to think twice. Wednesday, economy minister Luis de Guindos tried to reassure investors and customers. He said, Catalan banks are Spanish banks and European banks are solid and their clients have nothing to fear. All right. Yet Melody is reporting that at least one bank has bailed out of Catalonia and another one is thinking about it. And this is a rich province. Right? The Catalonians tend to be wealthier than the average Spaniard. So if their banks disappear, it's going to really affect them because they are rich people. Spanish Prime Minister Mariano Rajoy, conservatives taking a hard line on the issue, faces a huge challenge to see off Catalonian independence without further unrest. How can he do that? He faces a huge challenge to deal with this? I mean, you either got to let the Catalonians go or you're going to have to fight them. And if you let them go, it'll cause more unrest. There'll be other provinces that want to break loose. If you don't let them go, you'll get more unrest. So the point behind this, and here's and preparing Alex, for the launching of a nuclear option.
We do have a caller.
All right, hang on. Let me just finish this one point. We'll get the caller. It says Rajoy, the Spanish Prime Minister Rajoy, is thinking about implementing Article 155 of the Spanish Constitution, which allows him to take direct control, that means dictatorial powers, from the administration in Barcelona. Under certain circumstances, he can become the national dictator. Well, is he going to implement that? And that's one of the big questions. So we're sitting on the concern it could trigger civil rebellion, a move by regional police to force the ally with the pro-independence parties could significantly escalate the situation. It's just one of these things. It's another one of these instabilities that are affecting people around the world. What's our caller? Who is our caller?
We have Chris. We have Chris calling us. Hello, Chris.
Hi, Mel and Al. I wanted to revert back to your subject matter prior to this Catalonia thing. You know, you were talking about money and availability, and the fact is there's no, like you've touched on many times, you know, the average person doesn't have enough money to get their car fixed, you know. Mm-hmm. But what's going to happen is it's going to just be a rerun of 1930. They're just going to, you know, as people have less and less cash in their pocket, you know, or in the bank account, they're going to just constrict the money supply again, just like they did in 1930. So they're going to add more insult to injury, but for a short time, cash will be king. But nobody, this is why people aren't buying anything, because and businesses are going out because nobody has any. You know, so they've got us all thinking that inflation is 2%. Well, yeah, of course it is. You know, core inflation, that doesn't count the three most important things. You know, energy, food and what's that third one? But
probably
now they're just going to repeat. They'll just repeat that. And then they'll constrict, and it'll be very difficult to get your hands on any cash. But nobody has any, or really, they don't really even have any credit, you know, to get any cash or to borrow. It's just going to be a repeat of, they just repeat. They feel people, you know, generations die off, and your grandparents maybe told you this, you know, but it's going to happen again. They use the same game plan over and over on us.
I know. It's like, you know, subprime borrowing. You would think we learned our lesson with the Great Recession. Subprime borrowing is bad. And they're doing it right. They've had it for the last couple of years. They've reinstated it again, not for homes per se, but for automobiles. They're still letting people borrow money who probably can't repay the debt. How can this end well?
We have no control over what we want to do. It's what they want to do in their plan that will come to their fruition. And we're just sitting duck.
They bet on. They know people have short memories. Mm-hmm. They bet on people not reading and understanding history to where it does repeat itself. And they make sure people are distracted enough so they don't, you know, tune in to see what has actually happened to them and who is responsible. But you are absolutely correct.
It's sad, it's like, but true. And it's going to be the same old movie again, and they won't catch on. And, you know, if we live long enough to see it, it'll happen again. But for a short time, cash will be king if you have it. And then I don't know for how long, maybe a year, if you're sitting on cash, you'll be king, you know, because nobody else will have any. And they won't be able to have any access to it. But then after that year's done, then what you sell is going to be king at that point, you know. And as far as I think people will just completely give up on anything crypto because they have no, it has no, they'll realize what's tangible and what's solid, what's real. Yeah. And there's nothing real about crypto.
That's another promise to pay. That's all it is. It's a promise to pay.
Exactly.
It's not a payment.
Right.
And one message I try to get across on this program on a regular basis is you got to learn the difference between a promise to pay and a payment, and realize that you would be better off taking payments than you are taking promises. It's
right.
Not rocket science, but it's something that's obscure to the average person. What do you mean? If a $100 bill is not a payment? No, it's just a promise to pay. You don't get paid until you get something tangible.
What makes them not repudiate the debt?
Well, what makes them? They can't.
Hands in the pie.
They can't repudiate the debt. We have a debt-based monetary system, and for example, if we had $20 trillion in national debt, if they repudiate that $20 trillion in debt, they also have to repudiate $20 trillion in U.S. bonds that memorialize the debt.
Right.
They can't.
Exactly.
They can't cancel the debt without canceling the paper debt instruments that we use as currency and wealth. In this country, the paper wealth. We're going to lose $20 trillion in paper wealth if anyone ever cancels $20 trillion in debt. It's not like we can't have the jubilee that they have in the Old Testament, where every 50 years they cancel all the debt. Because back then, the debt was gold, or the money was gold and silver. We have debt-based currency. Can't cancel debt without wiping out the correlative assets. Can't be done. I mean, that's why we are in such a terrible situation. We can't pay the debt, and we can't cancel the debt. What are we going to do with the debt?
Yeah, I have a question for Melody. Melody, what's with this palladium? You know, actually, I thought platinum was rarer than palladium, but palladium's rarer than platinum. And platinum is 14 times rarer than AU.
Mm-hmm.
So... but the question is, what's the big deal about palladium? It's unrecognized, and why is it rivaling platinum right now and exceeding it? I think that will be short lived. But what are your thoughts on palladium doing what it's doing?
Well, I agree with you, and I just think that the only time it's happened before, and I believe it's happened at the time when Ford basically was manipulating the price of palladium. We know the major usage of platinum and palladium is both in catalytic converters, one for gasoline, one for diesel. And so the big push originally for palladium was, oh, China's going to be buying up all these cars, and all these usage of metals, and particularly palladium, would be used. So right. I think we've seen some of that, and I think this is why we did see, you know, palladium rise throughout the years. I had always called about an 800 top, a little over 800 for palladium, and I think it's just basically paper trading that's pushing these prices to this level, and I think it will be short-lived, just like you said. I think platinum will regain its position, and there's, you know, you have Russia, they're involved in the platinum market and everything else, so sometimes you just have these strange anomalies that, you know, maybe there's really no rhyme or reason other than the paper trading, but I don't think there's any fundamental reasons why palladium is being pushed stronger than platinum at this point.
Have you seen the new palladium round, or actually it's minted by the government, I believe, and it looks just like a big dime in the Walker days, you know, that before the Roosevelt dime. You remember the dimes, what do they call, Liberty dimes?
Mercury dimes or Liberty dimes, yeah. Yeah, I've seen the palladium and something else, too. I can remember I used to talk about rhodium a lot. Rhodium is very rare, and what was always fascinating about rhodium, they ran that price from 400 to 10,000. That was short-lived.
For a little while, I remember.
Pardon? Yeah.
Yeah, I remember. It went to 10 grand, and then now it's back to about 10.50.
But it is having some nice – it also is having some nice moves lately. And the reason that fascinated me, because to me it's an example to show you that gold will rise. You know, it's not the first time another metal went to, you know, 400 to 10,000. And I think a couple of years from now we'll be talking about the same thing with gold.
I'll tell you what, we're going to have to talk about it another day because we're out of time.
Though.
Want to thank you for the call. Thank you, folks, for listening. Melody and I will be back tomorrow. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, Todd, the producer, and our caller. And bye-bye.
Never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.